welcome to Horror Movie News. Today it's a special occasion because it's our it's our 30th, and I just forgot that we're doing it on the live.
Woo!
So yes, you can see all of us in our cold intro. But yeah, today we're doing our revenge review, as well as some light news and our segments per usual. And we got some wine in these awesome chalices provided by Carrie. So now we cheers. We've been doing this for 30 episodes. Celebratory cheers! It's our movie news!
Yeah. Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
I rarely drink wine, but this is this is interesting.
Yeah, this is nice.
I like it.
And then Lucretia brought our wine.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I thought Apothic Dark would be festive for horror movie news.
Thank you.
Very
fitting.
I dig it.
Yes, it's very delicious, drinking the blood of our enemies.
Yes.
Welcome, everybody, to Horror Movie News, episode 30, big 3-0. I cannot believe it.
Congratulations.
I know, right? Congrats, everybody.
Yes, round of applause. We started this venture in October of last year.
Yeah.
It is now May of 2019 this year. 2018. I'm living in the future, guys.
Anthony's had a few wine glasses.
I've had too many sips. But yeah, welcome everybody. Let's get this party started. I am your host, Andy Becerra, and with me I have other hosts.
Hey there, Carrie Lane here.
Hey guys, I'm Oliver Drennan.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon.
Right on. On to the next. Crypt Keeping. Let's do this. Where to find us? YouTube.com/PopcornTalkNetwork. That's our YouTube page. As well as at HorrorNewsPTN on our Twitter page. As well as on our website, PopcornTalkNetwork.com. That just got a facelift along with all our other websites, and it looks marvelous. And now, also Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Just type in Horror Movie News. Look for a little thumbnail back there. You can see. There it is. All right. And leave a 5-star ratings if you enjoy the show. And if you don't, I don't want to hear about it. Or, you know, feedback. It's all good. All right. On to our first segment, The Abyss. So we all saw Revenge.
Yes.
We did, so we'll save that.
We'll save that for later. Put it in my pocket. All right. I did see something else, but I think I'm going to save that for my crypt because, yeah. So yeah, we all saw Revenge. Is that just it for everyone? Is that the consensus?
Yeah.
Our Abyss is a revenge, everybody. We're gonna give you a special Abyss / review. So moving on to the crypt. I don't know, it just felt right. So yeah, what I was saving for the crypt is, it's called Tokyo Vampire Hotel. I have to give it to Steve, our engineer. Yes, thank you, because he showed me this, and he's like, dude, I've only seen like the first 6 minutes, and I cannot watch this alone. We have to watch this together. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And we hopped into our theater. We popped this on. My God, thank you so much, Steve.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, it was fantastic. It's such a cool. So this is I believe, 10-episode series on Amazon Prime. It's directed by Sion Sono, which is the same director that did Tag.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay. Which we talked about.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so this is a plot. And it's on Japanese, by the way. Manami is captured by bloodthirsty, trigger-happy vampires and taken to their hotel, where they keep prisoners as future meals. As they are all instructed to find a partner to survive when a vampire clan from Transylvania interferes. I have only seen one episode, but this episode sunk its teeth right into my neck, and it hasn't let go because I can't wait to get more of this damn show. It's so good. Nice. Even the cinematography of this show, the first episode, was so fantastic. It starts bloody. It starts hard. It starts fast. You're confused. You don't know what's going on, but you love it. I love it. It's fantastic, I gotta say. It's Japanese vampire gang feud, really.
Okay.
And it takes place, like, the first episode starts, like, a day before the world ends, so. Ooh. And, like, the main character is, like, she's prophesized to somehow save the world, and it was only her and three other, like, babies that were born on a certain date after the 9th second. I think it's, like, on the 9th day of the 9th second. The three babies were born, and they're given the blood of Dracula, and they are prophesized to, like, save the world somehow. I don't know. There's, like, a Dracula gang. There's this other gang I can't remember, and I'm like, I'm here for it, and I can't wait to watch the rest of this because it's so cool. There was also a supercut of the show, and it was made into a film. Yeah, just look at that shot. My God. there was a supercut of the show that was made into a film that runs about 2 hours and 20 minutes. Hmm. So it's like the whole show but made into a movie.
Okay.
But I'm going to watch the show first, and then hopefully I can find the movie because it sounds a little hard to find. Hmm. But yeah, definitely check that out on Amazon Prime. I believe it was released in 2016.
Foreign films or shows, it takes a while to distribute to
the Americas. Exactly. But that's my crypt keeping. It's called, once again, Tokyo Vampire Hotel.
Nice.
Yeah, I too picked a series because I don't know if you guys have heard all the news or all over my Twitter or showrunner Joe Henderson's Twitter, but Lucifer was canceled by Fox. But be sure to tweet hashtag save Lucifer, hashtag pick up Lucifer. Those are helping, I mean, because it's trending worldwide, because this is a show with an international fame, actually. Does really well. It's kind of an odd decision. I think it's a little bit more like the whole their new friends there, and I won't say much more, but I think they're part of the problem with this show that did well in the ratings, but anything helps. But so watch on Hulu.
I get it.
Yes.
I haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah.
Fox?
Who did they partner with?
Merger.
All right.
It's all on Hulu, so everybody watch. Yeah.
People saying stuff online does make a difference. Yeah. So.
I mean, look what happened with, like, Sense8.
Timeless.
And Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah. Already.
So what's the hashtag? Save Lucifer?
Yeah, hashtag save Lucifer and hashtag pick up Lucifer.
Hashtag
and
hail Lucifer. Hashtag hail worship.
That used to be our catchphrase when we did the after show. We're here. Hail Satan.
I mean, nice. All those fun hashtags that are definitely going to be misconstrued.
I'm sure that watching all of it on Hulu from the beginning helps, guys. So do
sure.
that.
Yeah,
that's a fun show.
That's one I've been meaning to check out. Yeah. Now that I know it's
happened before. Look at Riverdale. I mean, it wasn't canceled, but it wasn't that popular until it got on Netflix and people are just like, now it's huge, whatever.
Mine's a little lesser on the horror scale, but you know what? Those are important as well, because we were talking before that some people maybe don't like super gore or, you know, certain subgenres of horror. So sometimes when it's more like light horror, it's a nice gateway drug for people. So one that kind of came to my mind that's a little more on the crime, but that can still be horror. Delicatessen, and especially because with our film later, it's a French kind of big influence there. So this is French film from 1991, comedy and crime. So post-apocalyptic surrealist black comedy about the landlord of an apartment building who occasionally prepares a delicacy for his odd tenants. It has, what's his name? Dominique Pignon, who's in a lot of French films. If you watch those, he was in, I think he's in Amelie. So directors are Marc Caro and Jean-Pierre Jeunet. I'm sorry if I say my French weird. But anyway, it's a really cool movie. I don't know exactly where you'd find it now, but it's just quirky comedy, but it's horror in that sense of dark and kind of post-apocalyptic. And I think they mainly stay, it's been a little while since I've seen it, but they mainly stay in the apartment complex, which is kind of cool and creepy, because then you're like, what's going on in the outside world?
I think it does say watch on Prime Video there.
Ah, there we go. So looks like Amazon you can Prime. Watch on Amazon
oh,
Prime.
Buddy.
Go Amazon.
Which is the what's best.
Yeah. But yeah, check it out.
Sorry,
Delicatessen.
I hit my chalice and it rocked a bit.
Be careful. He's already drunk, y'all.
I know, right? You get two sips and you're like,
not, that's not true. I don't know what you're talking about. All right, Ollie.
Well, we were talking about this last week. I have three films to recommend.
Whoa.
It's the Resident Evil animated film.
Oh my god, I love that.
We have Resident Evil Degeneration, Damnation, and Vendetta. I recommend them all. They're beautiful. The CGI looks so realistic. It's like levels on like the Final Fantasy CGI.
Oh, yeah, it's really good.
They have all your favorite characters. They have Leon S. Kennedy, who I think is in all of them. Ugh. Chris Redfield. They have
Claire Redfield in the first one.
Yeah, Claire. Yeah. And then we have Ada Wong. We have Rebecca Chambers returning to the series finally.
What about Jill?
There's no Jill.
There's no
what?
Jill.
Jill's my favorite character.
Bye, Jill.
But no Jill.
Cool.
All right.
But they're
and
so
creepy.
Beautiful, so realistic, so much fun. If you're like, they come out like every, 2 to 3 years with one of these animated films.
Do you know easiest spot to watch them or kind of on multiple
good question.
Platforms?
I feel like Amazon has them.
I'm sure there's Amazon rentals for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, if you're lucky and you go actually venture out into what we call the world.
Yeah.
And you go to a brick and mortar store like Best Buy or stuff like that.
One
you can
those.
Actually find the triple feature.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That totally makes sense.
Yeah, you can find a triple feature package.
Like
I believe, Steve,
pack.
Don't you got that?
Yeah.
Don't you have that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I do.
And didn't we have a blast with Vendetta?
Yes, we absolutely did.
It was fantastic.
Amazing.
I loved it. The whole chasing of like Leon on a bike and he's being chased by the dogs. Leon, fantastic. I love that
He is
scene.
Amazing. He gets away with everything. Like, he'll never die.
Dude, honestly. Leon's my favorite of all time. So just bouncing off of that, it's not completely horror. This is just a quick on-the-fly news. So the people who brought you the Resident Evil like live-action films, although they were...
They're guilty pleasures.
To the max.
Yeah.
Paul W.S. Anderson, successful box office wise horror movie coming out of the UK, out of England, I believe. So it's like he's like a big player over there, right? It made 1.2 billion with its 10-year run span of the whole franchise. There's six movies, $1.2 billion. I think something that doesn't get talked.
Yeah, and they're nothing like the video games.
Nothing like the video. Yeah, I like to see it as a self-contained like universe, whatever. But yeah. Anyways. So they're still on the Capcom boat because now it was announced that Paul W.S. Anderson, along with his wife Mila Jovovich, they're going to be making a Monster Hunter live action movie.
What?
I think I'm the only one like super fucking psyched for this because I love Monster Hunter the game franchise since it came out in PS2 and I was just a little youngling and didn't even know how to play it and I still played it. My God, it's the dumbest news. I love it. It's gonna be horrible, but I'm gonna watch all of it.
I want to see it for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure
and it's
fun.
Definitely more like action centered than like plot, really, because most of the games never had plot. So I'm like, how can you really mess this up? As long as you just make the monsters look good
That's
and the action great.
That's what his films were. The Resident Evil films, they were all about action. They're really not about
horror
story
or anything. Except for like the first two, maybe.
Well, it's funny because then I was thinking of the anime Monster. I think it's Monster Rancher.
No! It's Monster Hunter. It's one of Capcom's most highly grossing game franchises. Yeah, it's Monster Rancher. Monster Hunter.
Children adjacent.
Just off that note, it's just a quick one. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that because I'm just such a fanboy for that franchise.
And will she be leading in the film, like the leading lady?
Well, actually, it's going to be based on this one dude, but I'm guessing it's going to be her training him because there's a whole like training.
Cool.
He finds out he's a descendant of these like ancient Monster Hunters, and he goes off in this island to do. Yeah, it's all cool. But yeah, so now let's get into just some quick light news. Take it away, Lucretia.
Yeah, so I actually pulled this up because a friend of mine, Tokes Olagunde, was in the canceled Tremors pilot. And I'm a big fan of Kevin Bacon and the Tremors series myself. So yeah, why don't we just watch the trailer of what could have been?
Oh my God, I have not seen this and I'm so psyched.
How dare you, sci-fi?
How did sci-fi of all people...
Right?
I know.
When did sci-fi get standards? Like what?
They got some good stuff.
Yeah.
Someone's got to pick it up, honestly.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, when you look at this trailer, and it's actually one of a few.
Graboids.
Like, this is very meta and fun. Love handsome hero.
I feel like this falls in like the same vein as like Ash versus the Evil Dead. Like, it's so cool.
It was very much like that. Same thing with like maybe IFC will pick it up because Stand Against Evil is very Ash versus Evil Dead, and it's not on its third season.
True.
That's a good show.
Oh, got some Beck. Because he's a loser.
Yeah.
I thought you killed all the Graboids.
So did I.
Yeah, that's Tobes.
Maybe we were wrong.
Because everything
else has changed. Would Shudder pick it up, maybe?
Yeah, that would be a good outlet.
They should. It has so much like steam going for it already.
Yeah, because the trailer, this particular one, had been viewed over 40,000 times within a day.
Wow.
Nice. I'm waiting for this car to get eaten.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Call back to Tremors 1.
She's a goner.
Oh no, that's my.
Oh, I'm like, she's a goner.
Oh, no, she's fine.
Don't go over there. Don't do it.
Who is that?
That was Tokes on a good day.
What is this? A quiet place?
Yeah. That was the thing.
They go off sound and also vibrations on the ground. Come on, get your crab voids back.
I'm a noob. Sorry.
Have you ever seen any of these movies?
No.
Oh my God.
You haven't?
They're
so
good, dude.
Yeah, they had a new one that doesn't have Kevin Bacon in it. It's usually the other characters and Jamie Kennedy. Cold Day in Hell.
Yeah. The Sixth Sentry, I believe?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. I'm trying to watch all of them this month. I'm falling behind. I've only seen the first one. This month. I've seen almost all of them.
Nice.
Oh.
Is Bert back? Is that Bert?
I don't think Bert is in this one. It's one of the few things he... Because he's in all of the other ones.
Yeah.
But that was the only thing I didn't like about the pilot was no Bert.
Well, it could come later, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like...
Oh, it looks so cool. I want to see this show one. Oh, my... Yep. What?
I forget where they filmed this out in the desert. There's a part of... They filmed some of it in California, and our 8th grade trip went out that way. I did not want to walk on the sand. I'm like, where are rocks? I need to stand on a rock. It's dangerous out here.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that looks awesome.
That was so funny. Yeah. This was,
so was that all footage from the pilot?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Oh, my God.
And they only filmed the pilot.
Yeah, they had only filmed the pilot, and then Sci-Fi decided not to pick it up.
Well, they canceled Expanse, too. Yeah. So,
did
Sci-Fi,
they really?
They did.
Dropping the ball.
But Expanse could still go somewhere, which I'm also on that panel. So, tweet about the Expanse, guys. We're thinking maybe Amazon or...
yeah, Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon for this too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, this...
There we go. He paused it for you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep, I had to go back for it.
That's crazy. They definitely look like evolved.
Yeah.
Updated. I was about to say, I cannot wait, but... I'm gonna have to, I guess.
Yeah.
It's maybe like, waiting forever.
Forever, yeah. Oh yeah. My goodness. What's in the developmental purgatory, I guess, for now. Let's all just like give our thoughts and like universe I wanna see Valentine. I wanna see Kevin Bacon.
Let's drink to that.
Drink to that. Yes. Amen.
Cheers. Drink to bacon.
What the hell's going
on? To bacon.
Here? To bacon.
Wee.
Oh, so good.
Ooh,
so
good. I know, but at least we've got a new Puppet Master movie coming to unrated wide release on August 17th, Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich.
Yeah.
Lucretia, Stephen the Booth here. Would that technically be the 6th or the 7th Puppet Master film?
I know. I'm like, I don't know, because there's been so
many. There's been a lot of them.
And like, Full Moon was based in Dallas, like, and I had a lot of friends who worked there, which in this is their biggest property, although they had like Castle Freak and stuff, which has also been picked up by this same production company to do another one, but I just hope there's no nudity in that, because I still have nightmares.
Whoa, there's a lot more than I thought. I don't know if these are all official.
No.
Oh, buddy.
I'm pretty sure I've seen 1
Axis
through
5. Of Evil.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, ooh.
So there's, oh my goodness.
I love them.
Two,
they're so fun.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I would go 10 with the X there. No, yeah.
So,
yeah,
there's, so apparently this would be the 11.
So, yeah, we'll go with 11.
Yeah.
Oh, Yowza is right, yeah. Steve. My goodness.
Starting back in 1989. Throwback.
I have not seen one of these.
You haven't? No, one of... I forget if it's number one, and it might be, or it might be a little bit into it. There's one where they're like at a... I'm going to say it's like a hotel or a resort. And at the very end, someone is like going to an asylum or something. And I'm like, can Puppet, the next one, be in an asylum? And they don't do that. You guys miss the opportunity.
Puppet Asylum.
Asylum and puppets. Oh, Killer Puppets, that'd be amazing.
Right on.
I know. I love Killer Puppets. But yeah, Sin State, the production company that's picked this up, co-producer Amanda Prismic said in this film, they are confident that they have one of the top 3 kill scenes of the past 15 to 20 years.
All right.
This movie. I'm really, you know,
it's a
makes
bold
you want
statement.
To see it.
We'll
it's like very
that.
Bold statement.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That bun tomahawk still sticks with me.
Oh, it sticks with everyone. But, like, Barbara Crampton's in this, of course, but also Thomas Lennon and Udo Kier. I love Thomas Lennon.
Or is the tomahawk divisive because it's separating?
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Oh. Anyway, moving on.
All right, real quick. I have 2 news stories. First off, this is it is TV, guys, but that's okay because it is Guillermo del Toro, and I love him, and I don't care what you say.
It's your boy.
It's my boy. So Guillermo del Toro is producing 10 After Midnight for Netflix. It is a anthology series.
Ooh.
Yes. And he promises that the show will be equally sophisticated and horrific when he was referring to Tales from the Crypt.
I'm all for it.
And awesome. Del Toro will curate the episodes while writing and directing some of them. And I'm guessing it's going to be possibly 10 episodes for 1 hour long each, which would make sense.
Nice.
Or it could be like 4 or 6 episodes and have them be like feature length little films, which would be righteous as well. But yeah, we'll see when that comes. There's no release date or anything. This is just barely announced that 10 After Midnight, it's coming.
Sweet.
And some people speculated that because it's 10 After Midnight, that there'll be 10 stories. Episodes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, exactly.
Nice.
All right. On to our next little bit of story. You guys were you guys fans of Zombieland?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that movie.
Definitely.
Whoa, good news for you. So Zombieland was released in 2009 in October.
Which is almost like 10 years ago.
It was almost like 10 years ago. What do you do? What do you do for 10-year anniversary? You
get make a new one.
That's right. Although,
shut up, Columbus.
Yeah, although Bill Murray would not be in this one. The original cast is back.
Well, nice. Bill Murray died.
I know.
He got killed.
Spoiler Maybe he alert. Actually comes back as a zombie because they didn't actually shoot him in the... They shot him in the gut. Or not in the head.
Double tap,
they
shoot
him? I don't know. I can't remember if they shot him in the face.
Or maybe we'll get a better, like... Or not better, per se, because that was a pretty fun cameo. But, like, a different cameo of somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Who would you want?
Bruce Campbell.
Bruce, oh,
like that's who I was hoping it was in the movie anyway. And then I was like, oh, Bill Murray. But
that's fun. That's a great cameo. I don't have anyone in mind really, but Bruce Campbell would be a fantastic cameo. So if you guys don't remember the original cast: Woody Harrelson, Emma Stone, Jesse Eisenberg, and Abigail Breslin. So they hope to start production in early 2019, so they can get October release date, so it'll come out in the same time.
Fast. Yeah,
it'll come out at the same time as like the original came out, the first one came out. Yeah, so that I thought that was really nice, and definitely had to share it before we got into our revenge. We got our revenge on. So now we're moving into finally our revenge film review. We got a solid 19 minutes to just rip this thing apart. Let me just start off with a quick overview. So it was directed and written by Coralie. Can you read French much better?
I would go with Coralie Farge.
Farge,
because you don't say the T, I think.
Yeah, Farge? you don't pronounce the T, but it's like Farge or Farge, depending.
Notably, is a female filmmaker, which I thought was awesome. Where to find this film? You can find it in local theaters in LA County. I don't know anywhere else really.
You can rent it on Amazon. That's what I did.
And Shudder. I checked earlier this morning. It still says coming soon. So eventually, Amazon. I think once it has its run in theaters, it'll be coming to Shudder.
Shudder, I believe, actually even produced the film.
Mm-hmm. Right. On the movie poster, it says Shudder.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right on. And so, synopsis real quick is not really more of a synopsis, more of a weird tagline. Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes, never take your mistress on an annual guide's getaway, especially one devoted to hunting. A violent lesson for three wealthy married men.
Do we ever establish that the third dude was married?
Or the other
two? The heavy guy?
Yeah,
no, the other dude does say he's married.
Yeah, the heavy guy, because
he's like, your wife's calling, and he's like, well, I'm getting a divorce. But the heavy guy, I don't think they mentioned, but we'll assume he is.
The language of this film is English and French. Country of origin is France, and it was filmed in Morocco. And so far, it has grossed in the U.S. $45,924. I did not know what the budget was, so I didn't want to compare, but I'm sure it was more than that, because this film looks amazing. Characters, real quick. We have the actor names and the character names.
Mm-hmm.
Matilda Anna Ingrid Lutz as Jen, and I named her the star, the rising eagle, the phoenix out of the flames.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Janssens as Richard, which I labeled the hubby. Vincent Colomb as Stan, and I labeled him the POS of a human being, because y'all know why.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then this one's going to be really hard for me to pronounce. Guillaume Bouchid as Dimitri. I labeled him Chubbs because he didn't really have much else going for him. So I would like to start off this discussion.
I was going to say, super fast before you do it, though. Funny trivia. So this was on the IMDb page. Ooh. The film features so much blood that, according to the director, the prop team would often run out of fake blood. And after seeing the movie, I go, yeah, I totally can buy
that. Dude, that ending's... Yeah. Okay, we'll get to it. We'll
and then also a goof, which I'm like, that's a good point. So a beer can is used later in the movie. When she uses it for her wound, the words and the image should be reversed because it's like a temporary tattoo idea. Also, I thought it being bubbled was weird because I'm like, but it should be a flat thing.
Yeah.
That's my only, like, goofy
thing. But either I loved that.
Anyway, I'll get into it. Yes, it was awesome.
That.
But
it was
yeah.
so cool. All right,
we'll get into it.
Overall thoughts. Yeah, let's do it. Overall thoughts. What's good?
It was very grindhouse, and I love that. And honestly, the chase scene at the end when they're going around in circles, I felt like it went on a tad too long, but I loved it because it reminded me of GoldenEye. game, James Bond game. Yeah. And it was very much like playing that game. And I was like, ooh, this is really a cool visual. But I kept saying, someone needs to slip in this blood. Because as we say, there was so much blood. I was like, finally. Because I'm like, how did you not slip until then? But those were my only little nitpicks. But the emblem that when she burns herself and that being on there, I'm like, this is so cheesy and wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I love that part so much.
Which is very telling. That's exactly what it is, a grindhouse film. Like, you kind of just, like, these goofs, you kind of have to accept them because so over the top. She got impaled. I know we're getting... Yeah. She got impaled, okay? So, like, mm-hmm. and she lives. And then she goes crazy, but... I loved this story of just the cat and mouse and how the prey becomes the hunter.
Yeah,
you know?
The hunted becomes a hunter. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
It's not normally a genre I'm a fan of, but I think they did it really well.
Yeah, because you don't see it a lot in this day of age.
Yeah.
Like, no, because it's like, but I like how they have different ways that stuff happens and goes down for sure. Like her transformation, I was like, she has to do a good transformation, otherwise I'll just be annoyed with her. But she does, so you're like, yes! Yeah. The gore's so great, and I agree, the last chase scene, and actually a lot of parts kind of felt like a video game to me.
Yeah.
It did go on a hair long. I'm like, you should have just waited, and then that person, but I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah, I was like, why did we do this? I got a few times, but I was just a little like, okay. But it was fun. I was like, it reminded me of GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Yeah. I personally love this film. I didn't pick up on the grindhouse-ness of it, mainly because I'm not exactly too sure on what that constitutes, but I'm guessing it's just, like, ultra-violent.
Crazy.
So, it's definitely, like, very...
unrealistic.
Like, it felt, like, Tarantino-esque, gore, for sure. Very tasteful, like, the most explicit, or, like, what I thought was gonna be, like, very, like, oh, I'm gonna have to sit through this, was the rape scene. And we were talking about it before, how it was very tastefully done, and I really appreciated that, because I was, like, kind of dreading for it. What I found more terrifying was, like, the lead-up to the actual rape was definitely, I would say, like, nail-biting, like, scratching my face out, like, anxiety-filled, and also horrifying, just because of, like, the actor, Vincent Colomb, as Stan, I believe, who's the man, I call him a piece of POS, because he's the one who ends up raping her, and, like, his performance is utterly creepy as hell.
Yeah, he's creepy. Even, like, the whole time leading up to this, his moment he shows up, Stan, is creepy.
And I know, he's just, like, behind the wall, like, smoking or whatever. Yeah. Oh, my God.
She should have shut the door when she took the shower. I was like, oh, why didn't... But
that, too.
Lock the door.
Yeah, there's where my overall thoughts. Like, at the beginning, she is pretty... Let's say she's naive and kind of dumb.
She's from L.A. That's what she said.
No, she wants to go to L.A.
Well, she loves L.A. She loves the concept of Hollywood.
She wants to be noticed. But I was like, maybe being female, going into a place with three adult men and you're attractive, middle of nowhere, I don't think I'm going to come on to the other ones at all. Mm-hmm. Not victim blaming or anything like that, but, like, how he turns it against her of, like, you were up on me like a cat in heat. And you're like, run away!
Yeah, I was like...
Yeah, because she was, honestly, that was the thing.
She didn't have to dance for them or dance on him.
Right,
Victim blaming, but she's not very likable in the beginning. She's a sugar baby, believe me. I know many of these girls in Dallas. He's a married man, so, like, she's not likable until... Still that moment where she takes the peyote and then
fertilizes
her own wound. I'm like, you're a hero now.
Yeah.
Real quick, cutting back to, like, that whole dance scene that she does.
Yeah.
I said out loud, like, I was watching it with the girl I'm dating, and I said out loud, I was like, why is she doing this? And then she
wants attention.
Yeah.
I was like, why is she doing this? And then she, I remember her saying, just let her do what she wants. And I was like, all right.
That is one that's just dumb.
When she said that, I was like, oh, okay, that's your point of view. I was like, all right.
No, I watched it.
I was trying to be like, she shouldn't be doing that. But she's like, no, let her do what she wants.
You and pick I was up like, early oh. on that guy's a creep. I mean, they're all creeps in the end.
Well, like the breakfast scene, she could have been polite and been like, ate breakfast with him and been a cordial human being. She didn't need to flirt with him, like getting on the phone. I'm like, I get that you're turning him down, but that just pisses him off.
That's rude as fuck.
Yeah, that was like, the thing.
She should have gotten up and left.
That was so awkward too.
Yes.
I was like, dude, just humor him.
Yeah.
Please, for the love of God, be a good human being.
Normal, like, hey, thanks, thanks for making breakfast. That's great.
All she had to do was talk the right way, and she couldn't even do that. She's like, my hubby's not here. Well, I'm gonna ignore you.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? But
and, like,
whatever.
They were kind of likable at the beginning. I'm like, all right, I know he's cheating, but, like, they were kind of a fun little couple that you're like, ooh, naughty, whatever.
Yeah.
But then when he has, like, his switch later, I was like, Oh, nope, it's done.
Yeah, after clearly a threatens. Sociopath from the beginning. Yeah, though. Like
when he slapped her, it was like,
yeah, after she threatens to like call his wife, and she's like, don't you ever even like a threaten to like mess with my life? I was just like, oh boy, you not like now. Do you realize, girl, what you stepped in?
Yeah, it was so weird because I actually went to the theater to see it at the Limley, and I was one of the few women in the audience. Mm. And what was kind of funny though is like. A lot of people were laughing, and I'm usually the only person to be, like, laughing in the theater, but it was, like, at the moments where it was just, like, oh, come on. Like, it was, like, funny stuff, like, when she first awakes, like, being impaled, because I thought that that might have been a supernatural sort of element, and then,
I was wondering,
and then they were like, no, but that was why some guy just bursted out, and every time he laughed at things, it made everybody feel more comfortable, and we were all laughing. Like,
I totally recommend you guys seeing this movie in, like, theaters, because it was a really good time, like good experience. No, because it's like that's exactly what happened. Like I remember I saw it at the AMC 5 in Sunset or something like that. And I've never been there, but like people were started laughing and it kind of made you feel comfortable. It's like, oh, okay. And it's kind of like you kind of question, is this film intentionally making you laugh or is it unintentionally?
People laugh when they're uncomfortable too.
I always laugh at horror movies, but usually when I'm not supposed to.
A moment that stood out that wasn't funny, but I wonder if you guys noticed when he's choking her at the end and he's like, "Why don't fight back and women always fight back, like that's a problem." And then I go, he's done this before. Because the way he's like, women always have to fight back and like that's a problem, I go, oh.
I thought that was like...
You've been violent with women before.
Damn, I didn't think of that before. Ugh. That's a good point, Carrie. Oh, damn.
That was the another snap moment that I'm like, kill the mofo.
All right, real quick, let's try to go through some highlights. Yes. Highlights for me, that whole peyote scene was fan-freaking-tastic. Yep. I love that scene. Also, that like when it cuts to like that wide shot of her inside the cave and you see the whole extremity of the cave, that shot is so beautiful to me. I freaking loved it. I got like hints of I saw a similar thing to We Are the Flesh, like that same beautiful cinematography, and those shots were are just as beautiful. My god,
they made the desert so gorgeous.
Yeah, they did. That whole ant scene too, when she's impaled and you see the blood flying on the ant, was fantastic.
I felt bad for the spider that gets pissed on.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah.
I kind of wanted something to come back with that
and
actually
bite his dude.
I had mad anxiety because I thought she was gonna shoot his dick off.
I thought someone was gonna lose their penis.
I was actually surprised I didn't do that, but I was honestly kind of glad because that was very reminiscent of I Spit on Your Grave. And while a similar subject, this movie was very different from that movie, and I liked it almost better in a way because they sort of went away from that element of like this is more like the hunted becoming the hunter as opposed to rape revenge, and that was why I liked that tiny little shift made this a little bit more palatable. And what was gross, as we say, they did the rape scene very tastefully, but like they would show you gross stuff like when he's removing the glass from his foot.
Alex and I both are like that scene. We're like digging it.
Yeah. That's definitely a highlight. Yeah.
How it's shot, I noticed and really liked how the beginning it's a lot of her ass, a lot of like staring at her butt. But once she's done that transformation, it's more like her abs and like her face, like strength rather than just like sexiness. And then also the transformation of that. So then she's like super badass, being almost camo gear in her like booty shorts and top, which I was like, when did she change
lingerie,
into that?
But
essentially running around in lingerie and kicking ass. So I was like, yes.
And also, like, I know she's still blonde, but like you notice.
Oh,
the
and going brunette. Yay.
So she like.
No offense to blondes.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like we kind of downplay her because she's like this blonde girl, but then the dirt turns her into like this brunette.
No, she. Like definitely when she does the whole peyote trip, like it's like a symbolic rebirth of the character of like of literally a phoenix rising out of the ashes.
And it was on the can.
And also like the way that she gets out of being impaled, she's
smart actually.
And then she was also that too, like she was super smart, but like the way she gets out of being impaled, she burns the bush so it burns like what is holding her. And that's kind of like, I think that's like symbolic. It's like birth through a fire.
Also the apple, did you notice the symbolism of that? Yeah. Like the perfect apple
that's getting
rotten.
Yeah, that was fantastic as well. That was I got like images to what was it, Snow White, where you bite the apple, or also Adam and Eve when you bite the apple.
Or she started out innocent and then got dark.
And the ants.
Oh my god.
Yeah, because she was whole and complete and then like starts
rotting. She's the first one to bite it. Yeah. That's true.
And they just leave it there.
And then you just leave it there, yeah.
Yeah, also, very much like the first sentence.
I wish she had stolen one of the dude's shoes, though. That was the one thing where I was like, I don't mind her running around in a bikini, essentially, but barefoot in the desert, I'm sorry, I would have tried to steal somebody's shoes.
Yeah. I didn't know what the payoff was with her, like, always getting the flashlight. Like, they made it known, like, flashlight. And I was like, where's this payoff?
Yeah. And then she's just like, so smart.
Because then that lens in the flashlights are super thick. So it's like, it was perfect when she's, like, running away and she just cracks it. I'm like, oh, cool, okay. Like, I wonder if this is going to work. And it does. And then just, like, that whole scene of him just taking it out of his foot was definitely one of the most goriest parts of this flipping movie.
That's what I was going to say. The nudity in the film, we see male penis. Right. We see male ass.
Right.
We see her naked butt once.
The firmest butts I've ever seen.
His butt totally squeezes when he hears the noise outside, which is funny.
Could crack walnuts.
And then you barely see her boobs, which was nice, too, because we actually
saw
him.
What?
Very quickly, and the guy walks in.
I gotta go, guys.
Hold on. But it was nice, too, because that's more we're actually looking at the men in it, because it's the guy walking around this naked that we see more of.
And that was what I liked, is like, we were making jokes. You could tell this is a female director for all the man ass.
Yes.
Also,
good torso.
If you notice, also, in the reoccurring shot of, like, being able to see outside through the inside of the house, how you saw the pink and the red.
A lot of teal.
I took it as like Battle of the Sexes.
Sure.
Because like that was like, that's a color. Like women is a pink and then teal is a men. And then like, I feel like this is like a study of like Battle of the Sexes times 10.
Yeah, well, because here's the opening thing where we see like them through the pink. But later, she's standing in the teal light.
Right.
And he's on the couch where there's teal pillows, and then there's, like, the Mary symbol behind him. With the hands up.
The hands up. I know. There's a lot of symbolism in this. Granted, it is, like, kind of in your face, because, like, pretty much it's her. It's her catching him with his hands up, like, oh, fudge. Like, what do I do kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think it was important to make him naked, going back to him being naked, because it shifted completely. She was the one being vulnerable in the beginning, whereas he is completely naked and completely vulnerable from her. I mean, he gets the shotgun at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his gun, but like still he was the one being chased ultimately. Yeah.
And one of the moments where I definitely laughed out loud was when he's saran wrapping
his
face.
That was
smart,
so cool.
Like, this is so funny to me.
I love that
part. I liked it.
He's just I gotta stop myself from bleeding
but
real quick.
I loved that patio, by the way. I'm so jealous. I thought I had more patio and I'm like, oh man, I'm jealous.
So I wanna pose a question. What do you guys think this film has, like, it's trying to say about anything.
Don't let yourself be taken advantage of.
Yeah. Right. Act like the victim and you'll be like
that. Yeah. That's like the Sunny
Family
Cole. Family.
Yeah. So also, like, women empowerment for sure. I feel like this is like a feminist film. Like, why not?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
What else is it? Like, what else does this film have to say about anything, really?
I would really want to know what she does next.
Yeah.
Like, the helicopter's coming.
Yeah, she looks so badass looking over her shoulder. I was like,
I would hold him at gunpoint and be like, me home.
She's not going to L.A.
Yeah, I think she was going to L.A. She's like, I'm going to own that bitch now. Yeah. Because, like, her views of L.A. also were a point where I laughed. Like, oh, it's so, like, fast there. Yeah. It's like, nothing is fast here, honey.
Like,
hilarious.
No.
All right.
What did you guys think? Any special takeaway? I know I chimed mine in, but
I think don't underestimate women.
Yeah,
and
I totally agree.
It's exactly what he said. Women can fight. They deserve to fight back.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's when you have your own agency, use it. And that was the thing, is like she sort of had to flip the switch of, you know, quit being a victim and have your own agency. And when she did, it paid off.
Yeah.
And I know ZSB Lou in the chat chimes in that they liked the payoff in the movie. Yeah, it was very good. Yeah.
It's very rewarding. That's true.
I mean, there's a switch in her where she just becomes such a smart, like, character. Where, like, you don't know her background or anything, but, like, I could totally, like, you could tell me she was in the Girl Scouts. I'd be like, she was. I believe it.
Yeah.
All right, so we got to wrap up. Steve, do we have time to show the trailer? Because I just think it's just a fantastic trailer. All right, real quick, we're gonna end this show with our trailer for a movie that's soon to be released. It's the trailer for The House That Jack Built. We have already seen it, but here's a trailer. We do have to talk over it. We'll give you our thoughts on the trailer as it plays. Let it roll. Okay, so I love this trailer. Yeah. I gotta say right off the bat.
It's a fun way to, well, it's one of those, like, we shouldn't have a hero that's the murderer, but somehow this is entertaining, which is an interesting way of us people looking at a movie.
Yeah, he's like a tragic hero, Byron, I guess, like Byronic hero. I don't know, it's you're rooting for a man who's like a serial killer.
Yeah.
And I love it. I don't know.
Serial killers.
Well, I mean, I'm not rooting. I just want to see, though. I want to see his work, since he does consider, keep in mind, he considers his murders to be a work of art. So keep that in mind while he goes about doing what he does.
Okay,
And if we are talking a little too much, just go ahead and watch the trailer on your own. You can find it on Vivo or Vimeo, I believe.
It's a very quiet trailer. Yeah. It's a quiet trailer, and I like the how they interject the sheep, the lamb, and then the him being the predator, the tiger.
I love that because those instantly.
Are fun. Yeah.
But how are you going to kill off Uma Thurman?
Oh, like that, pretty much. Yeah. Smack her in the face.
How are you going to do her dirty like that? Come on.
Yeah. Hey, we've seen her drag herself out of a grave. That's very true.
And then the song, I believe it's David Bowie. And that
from the little kid to the adult, you go, yep.
That's him. That's still him. Yeah.
It's great. That's good editing to be like, that's how he started. Kids and animals,
it's
man.
So good. So it says it goes through the five murders that really changed his life or whatever, like shaped him as a murderer.
Right.
But like, I see more than five people.
I know, right? Yeah. I'm thinking like, okay, that's one.
So I think it's more like five acts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than the lineup. Yes. Oh.
With the gun. Oh. I'm so psyched for that. I'm a horrible human being.
Which I'd almost say that's a little weaker, though, as a serial killer, just to use a gun. Like, it's so impersonal.
Yeah, that is weird. That's the only nitpick I would have, is because, like, while this seems fun and I like it, almost like Barry on HBO, which I want to start watching. Have you guys been watching
it? I want to watch it. Steven's raving about it. He loves it.
I love Bill Hader. And
I love
Bill
Hader, too, yeah.
I feel like Matt Dillon's character sort of has a quality of, like, that all shucks, like, guy like Bill Hader, where you're like, oh, he's not really a killer. He's very disarming, so you're like, you kind of like this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not too, like Patrick Bateman is kind of a dick. Like, this guy doesn't seem like a dick.
Patrick Bateman from American Psycho, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah. A lot of people
that's
were...
That's one of my favorite
movies.
That's
like Dexter, too.
Yeah, Dexter's very likable. Yeah. And unassuming.
And
but he
space,
also kills
right here.
People.
Only bad people.
This face real quick. My God, that face. Oh, my God.
It's one that gets your piques your interest. Like, you're going to go, where do they go with this and what happens? Like, maybe necessarily you're not ahead of time going, I want him to win, but you're still like, I want to see where this goes.
No, I don't care about whether he wins or not. I just want to see him. I just want to see him
mayhem,
work,
destruction.
You know? I just want to see how it all unfolds. And I think that's where, like, it gets me. And I want to, like, you know, I get he's a horrible human being, but also it's not real, and it's fun to watch horrible things that aren't real. So,
yeah, and that's the thing, is, you know? I'm like, even when it's icky stuff, it's like, people, it's not real. At the end of the day, it's not. As long as it's good and it's entertaining, enjoy it.
Right on. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, that is our 30th episode.
Woo!
Yup. Yeah, we're going to block the speaker. also, just a quick announcement before we wrap up. So we are going to go on hiatus for just a bit. We'll be back the week after Hereditary hits theaters, and we're going to come back strong with another review of Hereditary, just how we did here. Light news, and then into the review. So that, I believe... Oh, damn, I wish I had a calendar in front of me. That's June 15th, I believe. Because Hereditary is June 8th, so it would be the
June
following...
June 12th will be there.
June 12th. That was cool. 3 days off. But yeah, we'll be back June 12th. We just need a little break. I figured that the 30th would be a nice little break. Get about 3 weeks in. Get some R&R. But we will be tweeting about things, the news. Also, trailers that I think are... movies that I think are worth putting on your radar, on your horror radar that... I have always talk about it's fictionary.
Make sure to follow us on Twitter, because we'll tweet stuff for sure.
Yes. So yeah, 3 week hiatus. We'll be back June 12th. Just want to make sure everyone knows. I know we'll miss you all, but we'll be back. Don't worry.
We'll rise from the grave.
Yes. And let's put ourselves over, Lucretia.
Since I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. I have two podcasts. I have Mrs. Brightside, which is the bright side of stuff, like The Bright Side of Bad Movies, which came out today.
Hey-o.
With Alex Michael. That's on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Podbean. And on those same platforms, and hopefully later on Patreon and YouTube for the video component, I still have The Red Room. We'll be doing an episode that'll be released Thursday. So same, you can listen to me talk about horror even during the hiatus, and maybe these guys will show up.
Hey guys, I'm Oliver Jenin. Follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer, and check me out on Sundays on the Drag Race after show on AfterBuzz TV.
And my name's Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And today, 6 p.m., a little bit after the show, we're covering Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood with this awesome dude over here. And we also have a couple other people on our panel. They're awesome, too.
I'm there, too.
So, yep. And this one, see, we got a lot of people and anime, and it's awesome. So tune in.
Yes. And my name is Anthony Becerra. You can find me everywhere at Tony, B-Tony, underscore, again, Tony, B. B-Tony underscore, I'm pretty sure that's a B. And catch me on Sundays on the Krypton After Show at 4 p.m. We are on episode 9 this following week. There's only two episodes left. Oh, my goodness. And, yeah, so catch me on that with Stephanie Sabra and Candice Cruz. Until next time, we'll see you June 12th, Hereditary Review. Woo! Go watch it. Let's go. Bye-bye, everybody.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit PopcornTalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.